we're both undergoing career transitions right now, and so one of our big hopes with running the Patreon campaign is that we would like to keep making TAL because it's really become something that's bigger than us. You know, we've gone through different iterations of different hosts and different people working on the show, but Ryan and I have stayed with the core, and we're still here with you today and happy to be here, and we want to keep building the show. And so this isn't about some ask of like maybe some desperate ploy to keep the show going or nothing, but this is a show that's become bigger and that's become a community. I mean, we have amazingly, we're humbled by the fact that there's over 29,000 subscribers to the show right now. And again, this is a community that we want to keep building. You know, it's really exciting to me is as we have spent more time, particularly in this past year, really building up the community. We've gotten so much more interaction on Twitter, on email with people across the world. And that's been really something special.
Oh, it surely has been. And, you know, one of the things that we talk about so much on the show is doing anthropology, right? Taking actionable steps to use an anthropological toolkit in your day-to-day life. And, you know, with TAL on a sort of meta level, we've been doing that, right? We've been producing content that can be consumed. That's not just your typical ethnographic report, which is totally fine and it has its place. But anthropology is much more versatile than we tend to give it credit for in the academy. And Adam and I want to be able to do that for you, our listeners, all the time.
And with you too, right? And that's one of these things that anthropology, you know, to us is so much of a conversation. And that's part of the reason that we even chose the podcast medium as a way to make the show, but also just sort of work on the message. I think you're totally right, Ryan, that the message and the work of anthropology is in the doing of it, right? Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of the ethnographic wisdom that comes out of anthropology, as we say, ethnographic, is because of the writing that scholars have done. And that, I think you're right, has a place and should continue. But also as anthropology spreads more and more into the world and elsewhere in other places, into businesses, into design, into art, into engineering, it's all part of these pieces, right? You know, anthropology doesn't simply study these places, but we can actually intervene and work with them too.
Exactly. And the context in which anthropology has operated has completely shifted. And I think it's good to bring up a historical perspective here, because when we talk about ethnography, we're talking about this entity that is just rooted in historical circumstances. So if we look at the earliest anthropologists, their whole goal was to go out and chronicle the culture of the outsider, of the other, of the mysterious small groups of bands and tribes and foragers who remained out there, remained enigmatic, right? But that no longer exists. That landscape is gone. And even the way in which people framed those studies would no longer fit today's paradigms in any capacity. So we have to think, how has anthropology changed? How have people changed in the last 100 years? And what can we now do to engage people differently?
Yeah. And I mean, even in terms of media and doing podcasts, television programs, whatever, you know, radio programs, so much of the kinds of work that can be done that tell stories about humanity, about what it means to be human, we see captured really elegantly. You know, I mean, some of our favorite podcasts, 99% Invisible or Planet Money, the TED Radio Hour, You Made It Weird with Pete Holmes, you know, whatever kind of podcast, comedy, there's always some element of the human condition in these pieces. And so when we think of anthropology in the 21st century, it isn't about going out and collecting stories from far away. It is partially that, but it is no longer just that.
Right.
There's something else there that really calls to us, and the podcast medium is one way that helps us do that, because we're participating in a community of other audio producers, of video producers, of people working in specifically non-written media. But, you know, we recognize that there's some power in the human voice, in storytelling. You know, these are things that anthropology has told us that people are really drawn. I mean, you know, one of the most, to me, classic images of what it means to be human is people sitting around a fire. Well, somebody tells a story.
Absolutely. And that type of idea has not left, right? Yeah. This is one of the things that we think about when we reflect on where did human thought, human ingenuity develop for the first time. And it's not the fire. It's not the skill that goes into that. But it's the stories that people tell while they're around that setting. It's the romanticized notion that says, this is a golden moment. This is the type of thing that draws us in and gives us connections. We all share stories.
And that's what TAL is for us too, right? I mean, you know, what we're doing in on one level is where a lot of what we call narrative or story-driven podcasts that are awesome. I mean, this is one of the reasons that Serial blew up and then S-Town that came after that. And then why people love these kinds of podcasts, because this is on one level just a contemporary form of storytelling that is great, you know? And what TIL does, and what I think I like so much about it, is that it does that sometimes, but then also is premised on this bigger picture of we tell stories about telling stories, and we understand how to tell stories, right? And how we tell stories and how that shows us what it means to be human, how we can be active beings in the contemporary world, how we can understand the past, how we might understand we want to construct and scaffold desired futures.
Exactly. And we also reflect upon the things that are around us, which seem ordinary, making them part of the story and showcasing what about their story is actually much more important than you might think. I mean, we do this all the time, and this is something that's going to continue because it's all about making the familiar a lot more strange.
Yeah, right. And of course, the flip side, of course, is making the strange familiar also. And this makes me think of that as a philosopher, Edward de Bono, and he has these four values he talks about. And so when we think about anthropology and we think about what we're doing with TAL, you know, we say we're driven by certain values. And the four values we'll just look at real quick is that he says that there's the me values, which is the kind of the ego and the pleasure. There's the mates value, which is a cool idea, which is belonging to a group and not letting it down. This is what we're talking about when we get into storytelling. There's the sort of moral values, which could be things like religious values, general law, or things you see in culture, as well as then mankind, he calls values, or, you know, human values, human rights, ecology, environment.
Right. So if we go back to that notion of hanging around the fire, right, we can see how each of these individuals, or not individuals, but these different concepts interrelate, right? So on the smallest scale, you have the individual telling the story, right? Mm-hmm. So you get that me value.
Yeah.
But then you get the mates value because you get the group that's sharing the dynamic in that moment.
Right.
But then you can get to something bigger by thinking about what the story truly entails. Is this some sort of religious pretext? Is this something about the morals and sociality behind a group? Mm-hmm. And then what bands other groups together beyond that? What are the other people at the other fire way down the way, maybe down the river by a volcano?
Yeah.
We don't know.
We don't know.
But there could be something that's binding them together in the situation as well.
And likely different, right? And so this is why, again, things like cultural values make a huge difference, right? Because there is the mates value of how you and your mates hang out and tell stories and what you choose to talk about. But of course, then there's these cultural values, these bigger pictures that why would a larger cultural group, in this case, maybe anthropologists or people that are interested in holistic or social scientific thinking and action, you know, what do these mean? And then, of course, these bigger values of like, what does it mean to talk about a discourse of human rights in general, or what it means to think about the environment and humans' place in it? And I think, like, this is, again, one of the things that makes anthropology such a powerful tool for doing. Again, we are talking about, we're thinking right now, but then this is how we put these into action. We say we have values of self. We have values of building together as mates. We have values that we call on the cultural level. That's a group that keeps us together. We have bigger values yet of what does it mean as an ecosystem of humans, of multi-species beings, if you want to, you know, I mean,
right.
I'm thinking of the book, I Contain Multitudes, which is, you know, a lot about gut biota and bacteria, and that, you know, there's more bacteria in the human body than there are, quote, human cells, you know, that make us up. And so the question is, who are we?
Exactly. And we also have to think about the ecosystems that are necessary for our own survival, right? Because every human is not just the product of their own body, but of what they bring into the body, of what is required for that body to function properly.
Yeah.
How much space do you need to move efficiently? Where does your veggies, your fruits, your meats, your carbs, where does it all come from? Mm-hmm. How much space do you need to produce enough for one, two, more?
Let alone a group, right? Mm-hmm. And how do you produce that, right? Are we talking about foraging and hunting and gathering? Are we talking about industrial production? Are we talking about horticulture? Are we talking about awesome permaculture with green roofs on top of buildings and 22nd century China? Who knows? You know, but these are the stories of what it means to be human and how we try to survive, right? So again, what TAL for us is about these kinds of values.
Exactly. I mean, we can even see this in that recent Matt Damon movie where he's on Mars and they're trying to terraform and he's making potatoes.
Yes.
Right? You get down to the basic human instincts and basic human needs. What is enough?
Right. And what makes you, you know, what drives you to keep going, right? And
right.
It's probably more than just, I want to not die.
Hopefully, probably, you know, a little bit more than that.
On some level, right? But so this, I mean, so when you think about these general senses, we're kind of riffing here on the idea of values, that, you know, TAL for us is driven by these kinds of values for us, not sort of the ego sense of we want to be, you know, the hot podcasters out there in podcast land, but really like anthropology and TAL for us is, again, we said become this community, and that to us there is these kind of mates values that are part of this, that we really feel a sense of belonging and connection with our listeners, with those that have subscribed to the show, those that talk to us about the show, the email, over Twitter, conversations we have in hallways, if we're at conferences, etc. And it's really been, I mean, something great for us. And again, we've been doing this for 5 years, and, you know, kind of our point is like, you know, here's to the next five, you know, and we can't keep waiting to do it. And so like, as we are entering this sort of career transitional phase, you know, we're not afraid. TL is not going to go anywhere. The question is, what we're realizing is we want to build something bigger than this.
Exactly. And what does that entail? We're thinking again about these different types of scales. Mm-hmm. We've started this production and we brought that at the mates level, right?
Yeah.
Because this was initially an idea that was individually made, but mm-hmm. then we manifested this as a group. And now we're wanting to expand to that next level. We want to be able to build networks. We want to be able to pull other people to share stories with us.
Yeah. And I mean, we kind of laugh because, you know, we did do a free think, I don't know, 3 months ago maybe. And you know, it was titled Who Are the 13,000? You know, and it's, we laugh because in 3 months or less, we've more than doubled that. You know, we're at 29,000 subscribers now, which is incredible. We are floored and humbled that this number keeps going up. You know, yeah. As you notice too, I guess we should probably point out, we haven't even talked to you guys in about 2 months. You know, we've kind of been a bit on hiatus doing a lot of other work and other projects. And part of our point is we don't want to have to take breaks anymore like that. We want to keep making TAO for you and be there for you and keeping this conversation going, you know, providing more actionable steps, more work, more ideas, more conversations that really help us understand the human condition. I mean, this is the work that we love. And what we're seeing with 29,000 subscribers, and we know we're going to keep building this number, we're going to keep building the community. What we're seeing is that this is people want, and there's a hunger for this kind of conversation, you know? And again, this is not
exactly
us saying, oh, let's make a great podcast. I mean, we want to continue to make stellar quality and content for you all. But this is about building something together.
And we have to keep considering that right now, with the political environment that's going on around globally, that anthropology matters more than ever, and these conversations we're having allow us to showcase the meaning that is there, to take actionable steps to at least provide outlets for more, you know, what's the word I'm looking for here? Cohesion and community
holistic
building,
thinking,
holistic thinking, compassion.
Patient wisdom.
Exactly. There's so much to go around, and we don't even have enough time to list them all because we'd be doing this for days.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. And that's, it's, you know, it is both a good and a bad thing, we might say, that like the world does need anthropology more than ever. And again, like anthropology isn't the answer to everything, but like, and I think what we can agree on is that like, you know, anthropological thinking, but really social science thinking, thinking that takes both a human-centered and a human-decentered perspective that understands how humans fit in the world and how we don't at different times. And we understand the values that drive us is what it makes us, you know, why do we do what we want to do? Like what, you know, what values drive, am I working out of ego? Am I working because I'm trying to impress my mates? Am I working because I want to help, you know, improve the ecology of where we live with other beings?
Right. And of course you have to think on the other level too, in which way are all of these factors that interplay with each other? In which way do some of these factors prevent others from operating in the way that they might do so better? I mean, because this is, again, it gets down to that basic human level, right?
Yeah.
This is all interconnected, interlocking pieces that are all completely subject to human processes.
Yeah, which is why we love Legos, right? Because
totally.
You can make anything out of Legos, but the great thing is that, you know, they are human-made devices, and they are really, the limit is our imagination, what we want to make.
And we would like it to make everything awesome.
Yes, a good reference. I like that. You know, and also Lego should totally sponsor us. But, you know, minus that dream, you know, it is this, I think you're totally right. Like there is this drive, you know, there is this, like what it is to be human and how do we think about all these processes and things become interconnected. And yeah, I mean, you're right that like the political environment that we're in right now is tumultuous at least. Right. And we're not just talking about the U.S. presidential kerfuffle, is that the word, or kofefe, that's happening right now in terms of, you know, international scandals and, you know, people not really working well together. I mean, but this is truly we're at a global moment of unprecedentedness. And this isn't that anthropology, again, is going to save the day. But the thing is, what anthropology does do is it helps us put context before events. We've said this numerous times.
Yes.
And it helps us understand more slowly the interconnectedness of the different pieces and how, in this case, you want different nation states or different leaders, different thought processes, different structures, different economic ideas have come together to sort of shape the world that we see today and also provide the possibilities for change.
And one of the things that we have to do and we think about with anthropology often is about how communities come together, but we also think about how they break apart.
Yeah.
So therefore, that comparative perspective, it allows us to interpret and make inferences on the types of historical moments we're in through that comparative and holistic thinking. That's why this is necessary.
Yeah. I think you're totally right. I mean, comparison, holism. This is one of the two hallmarks of anthropology, right? And so, I mean, it is kind of funny, like, you know, we're here talking, on our, some, you know, referencing 5 years of the show, and yet somehow there's still a freshness to discussing the fundamentals of both anthropology and what it means to be human, because these questions never go away.
No.
Right?
In fact, they keep changing. They keep shifting. Mm-hmm. If we think about the way in which, say, Star Talk, for example, with Neil deGrasse Tyson works, he's often talking about the cosmos or the cosmological story that we now see as an origin through physics, right? Yeah. But that's just a model that's only 100 or so years old.
Right.
Before then, people were thinking that the Earth holistically could be no more than 3,000, 4,000 years. And that was only for the last, say, 200, 300. Beyond that, people had no guess.
Sure. And I think, like, what's again, really important about that is, like, when we talk about, I think the cosmology is a great phrase because, you know, physics is the study of the physical nature of laws of the universe. And it does provide a narrative for where the universe came from. This is the Big Bang. You may get all the way into cool things like string theory, M theory, and that, you know, how the nature of reality and physical universe works, how matter, how dark matter, matter and antimatter, really cool sci-fi sounding stuff. But again, on one level, this is also a cosmology in terms of this is the origin story of the universe. This is another story we tell ourselves about how the universe began.
Right.
We are not going to say that it is more or less real than, you know, a story of creation or, you know, that may come from like the Torah or come from a different text.
Exactly, because that's not the point. But the point is, this is a human-crafted story on the nature of origins for all things, right?
Yeah.
And this is something that's only human-crafted, as far as we can tell.
Yeah.
There are no dogs or dolphins who are telling us this, despite maybe the their ability to do so.
I mean,
we don't really know.
Yeah, I mean, if you read Douglas Adams, you know, fish and rats knew about this a long time ago, and they're about to leave Earth because they're waiting for us to be destroyed by an intergalactic overpass. You know, but other than that, you're right. I mean, like, this is kind of the point where we're not saying that physics isn't real somehow, but of course, it is also a human-mediated way of understanding and seeing the world based on the five senses that we have to observe and understand and interpret that which we experience. You know, and religion does a similar kind of thing. And so this is tricky. Again, we're not saying that physics is somehow not real and religion is somehow real.
Absolutely not. No.
No.
But we're using these as frameworks to understand the stories which bring us together. And, you know, whatever stories you feel like belong to you and your community, that's totally cool. Because anthropology is about bringing these types of stories together in a way that promotes community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, in our hope with this kind of thinking is not to say that, well, I'm right and you're wrong. That's actually one of the things that we try to actively break down. What anthropology does really well is help us understand the logic system through which somebody believes and acts.
Yes.
And by doing that, we can then understand, okay, I see Neil deGrasse Tyson as a scientist uses what he calls the empirical method to observe the universe using instruments such as microscopes and telescopes and other things like that to then make what he says educated guesses about how things work and, you know, based on experimentation, etc. That's a framework of how we understand the world. Like, yeah, do we follow that? We do also. But the point is that, again, is us understanding how we operate. And that's, again, our perspective using our mediated lenses.
And it's good to use, you know, physicists here and the way that they understand the world with their grounded rules, right? Not just the world, but the universe, through certain guidelines, certain principles that are unchanging.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that you said that we do, which is absolutely accurate, is we preface cultures as having an ingrained logic to them.
Mm-hmm.
Every culture, every society operates with a logic, no matter how far removed from your own it might seem, how far-fetched, there is always a logic there. And as anthropologists, we tend to trust that. We try to understand it.
Yeah.
In that way, through bridging those different concepts, different types of cultural ideals, through comparison, through inference, work, spending lots of time together, we can kind of bring those distinct notions together.
Sure. And I mean, and the flip side of this too, of course, is if you see or understand or hear about a cultural practice that you don't agree with, then there is options of action. And one of these ways is sort of an interventionist anthropology or an interventionist way of doing work. And that is working inside of a group or around a group to sort of help instigate some sort of culture change that would bring about a desired future. The key and the trick about this, of course, is whose desired future are you working towards? Is it yours? Is it the people within the group? Is it some of the people within the group? Likely. But being aware of that and these sort of contingencies of how we decide to enact and intervene in change. The good thing, and this is the power we think of anthropology within the 21st century, and this is also one of my big pushes for doing design anthropology, is that that's what this is about. It is about understanding logic systems from inside. And this could be things like, you know, we've talked with Andy Simon about corporate anthropology, and we've talked with Vajanthi Vajravu also about doing sort of consulting and business anthropology too, and thinking with ideas like corporate culture, right? And so again, when we talk about tribes and bands, you know, you may think, oh, you're talking about the savannah of Africa. It's like, yes, but we're also talking about how businesses operate, because a corporation is itself also something like a band, right?
Totally.
And with that,
it's
there
a
is a logic.
Scale society.
Yeah, it's a small scale society, right? And there's a logic of how they operate. So if you want to institute something like cultural change, because, for example, your company wastes a lot of paper and you're concerned about environmental waste, then you work with inside your company to help either change a policy of recycling, of the kinds of paper, maybe using hemp paper instead of tree paper, whatever it is. But the idea, of course, is that by understanding the internal logic of a system, then you can more effectively intervene in it, right?
Yes. I feel like after this episode, we're going to have a few that are taking on interventionist anthropology as a few offshoots, because there's so much we can get into with that.
Yeah.
And we can't even get on all the highlights, but we can think about where it's useful today. And it's not just in a corporate setting, but that's a fantastic example of where we see it. But we can also think about different sorts of issues about hierarchy, issues about class, issues about race and religion and gender and sexuality that all cause different types of fissures to happen between larger cultural units, right? Now, I know we're using a little bit of jargon here, but these are things that we can touch upon with many more episodes to come.
Yeah, absolutely. And we definitely will, you know, and that's kind of, I think, one of our goals as we're talking here is that we, you know, TAL again has been premised on us learning how, like in the early days, learning how to have holistic conversations somewhat on the fly, you know, and our shows are never scripted, but they're, you know, we use notes and stuff to think. But the other point is then like learning how to then go from conversations to action. And that's, I think, a lot of what we want to start doing as we move forward. And this is also one of the reasons that we're asking for more support through Patreon now. And as we take things to the next level, is because we want to start doing more action. And that doesn't mean making more videos. I mean, it would mean that we'd love to start doing video podcasts too. And you know, we can talk a lot more about the kinds of episodes and things we'd love to start making with TAL. But part of it too is showing how this action happens, right?
Right.
And with funding support and with support from our 29,000 followers, soon to be 30 and, you know, soon to go and beyond that, is we can do things like demonstrations. We can do workshops. We can do online video services. We can do courses. I mean, I don't know. Like the great thing is the possibilities are really endless, but
right.
we are bursting with ideas and excitement. It's just about getting to that next level where we can provide this content. We can build that community with all of you.
And we're already starting to get to that level with your help.
Yeah.
And this is the great part, because it's only fueling this fire and passion to continue on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, like, one of the crazy things we want to point out is that we have funded TAL by ourselves for the past 5 years. And we are here now, you know, we've paid for something besides web costs. There's been some other equipment cost and some, you know, mostly web related stuff. And, but really when it comes down to it, it's like, this is, we've kind of operated this on our own. And the idea is like, we have now in the past year just seen such an explosion of the listener base, of the conversations on Twitter, on email, that we feel like we just felt the time was right to build this together, because TAL for us, you know, came out of our own, you know, wanting to do something new with anthropology, with our sort of frustration with the lack of conversations happening outside of paper, literally. And, you know, and so that's, I mean, on a simplest level where we are. And so now we're here 5 years into it, and we are, you know, can't wait. And we are so excited to build these conversations, you know, and build out the new things that we can do.
Right. It'd be a way to facilitate different types of engaging events, to bring different types of communities together for different reasons. And to, again, just illustrate what brings people together in different capacities.
Yeah, exactly. You know, going through these chains of values, right? How do we go from ego and pleasure, put it in action? How do we go past ego and pleasure to working with our mates, to working with our cultural values, to working with a bigger holistic perspective? I mean, imagine that's kind of, I mean, we're raising money so we can do that.
Right.
We can move beyond us talking around our fire, which we want to keep always doing because we love the little anthro fire. But let's burn that fire up. Let's throw some fuel on it and make it into a bigger conversation with more people, with more action. I mean, this is what this is for. And, you know, we would love to do this more full time. And this is kind of our dream. You know, we love anthropology, as you can probably tell. We've been doing this show for nearly 100 episodes now, which is crazy.
Right.
And, you know, and it's not going to slow down or stop. It's just that we've had a couple like speed bumps this year, as well as the biggest growth we've ever seen. And so, you know, without growth doesn't, you know, does growing pains, of course, come. And so what's been so cool about this is that we're back, we're here. this conversation is for you. It's for us. Like, we cannot wait to take our little Anthro Fire and with your support, with your help through Patreon, we can blow this thing up. And I don't mean that in the mean sense, but, you know, we can blow it up in a good sense. That's what people say, don't they? Yeah.
Right. It's thinking about balloons as opposed yes. to explosives.
Exactly. We can high air balloon this thing to space, you know. We're here for you guys. We're here for the TL community, and we are going to keep building, keep talking with you, and we cannot wait. I mean, we're going to start doing fan mail episodes.
Oh, yeah.
Because this is one of the new things. We have enough stuff now from people. So please keep sending us emails, tweet at us, let us know what you think about the show, episodes you want to hear, ideas you have, responses to conversations. Like, we cannot wait to start bringing the conversations that we're having off air onto air.
Right. And be sure to check us out on Patreon. You can be, if you act fast, one of the first 10 subscribers to our Patreon yeah. account. And we'll give you a shout out on air when you do that, mm-hmm. our first top 10. But then after that, there are so many different tier brackets to be a part of that we will help engage with you in different capacities. So check it out, and we'll be in touch.
Yeah, we'll absolutely be in touch. I mean, this is, you know, just final point, you know, because it's never fun to talk about money, but, you know, sometimes you got to, right? Because, you know, we're doing both a service for ourselves and hopefully for y'all, and that we can keep building together, right? In a program that we just love making. And part of it is that you can give $1 a month. And so that's less than my coffee habit. I don't know about your coffee habit, but, like, I know it's certainly less than yours, Ryan. And, you know, so for $1 a month, that's $12 a year. I mean, that's what you can give if you want to, and that's fine. We're happy to have that, because if 10,000 of you give $1 a month, then we have enough to make TL full time, which would be amazing.